And carrying the cross of Christ today is not choosing comfort, but obedience. What is the Lord saying to you this morning? It's not choosing approval, it's faithfulness.
Welcome to the Beverly Boulevard Four Square Church. It's Palm Sunday, March 29th, 2026. Pastor Zonia is speaking. Today's message is entitled, The Road to Jerusalem, and our text comes to us from Matthew chapter 21, verses 1 through 11. And now, here's Pastor Zonia.
Our scripture this morning is a Palm Sunday scripture. It's found in Matthew chapter 21, verses 1 through 11. And it will come in the screen in just a second. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and at once you will find a donkey tied there with her colt by her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, say that the Lord needs them, and he will send them right away." This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet. Say to daughter Zion, see, your king comes to you, gentle, and riding on a donkey and on a colt, the foal of a donkey. The disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed them. They brought donkey and the colt and placed their cloaks on them for Jesus to sit. A very large crowd spread their clothes on the road, while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and those who followed shouted, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest heaven!" When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stared and asked, "Who is this?" The crowds answered, "This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee." May the Lord bless the reading of his word. There are moments in your life and in my life when things begin to converge. This is what happened in the life of Jesus. In the life of Jesus, things were coming to a halt, coming to a place. And Palm Sunday is one of those days where everything seems to be adding up and summing up. It was not a spontaneous parade in reality, and it was not an accidental gathering of people. It was Jesus' deliberate entry. Jesus was not wondering what would be happening. He is moving with intention towards Jerusalem, and brothers and sisters, towards the cross. This is a road that is quite important for you and I to figure out in our minds today. There was a road that led to this moment. Long before the crowds were shouting, "Hosanna, Hosanna," Jesus had already been walking that road that led to Jerusalem. He had been teaching in villages, been touching lepers, restoring the broken, forgiving sinners, confronting darkness. He walked through Galilee. Yes, he did. He walked through Samaria, through Judea. And all along the way, Jesus was very active. And blind people were able to see, and the sick were healed, and the forgotten ones were seen. But just before this moment, something happened, something that changed everything. In the road to Jerusalem, he encounters Lazarus, and he raises Lazarus from the dead. And that's the story that spread like fire. Not just the crowds, but the curious, and everybody was asking themselves, who is this Jesus who just rose from the dead, a man named Lazarus? Yes, the crowds were not just simply curious. They were expecting something to happen. And they knew that something was going on in their own land more than a prophet. They just wanted to know what in the world is going on in the life of this man who's able to raise the dead. Well, Jesus, as he approaches Jerusalem, he does something extremely intentional. He tells his disciples to bring a donkey, not a war horse, not war, a symbol of conquest, but a humble animal, just a donkey, to fulfill the words of the prophet who said, "Behold, your king is coming to you, humble and mounted on a donkey." This is not the kind of a king that people were expecting from Jesus. But it's exactly the king that the world needed then and needs today. A king who doesn't come to dominate, but a king who comes to redeem. We often don't really know who Jesus is, even in our own lives. Jesus does not come to force himself on you. He does not come on a horse, but on a donkey, a humble beast, bearing and giving you an opportunity to simply love him and care for him. The crowd, oh my goodness, when you read this passage of scripture, we read it so many times. There's one road, but there's so many different voices. The road is now filled with voices, and people began to shout, and as the scripture says, and very large crowds spread their cloaks over the road. Branches were cut out. We have some branches here that we've cut out. Garments were laid down. Nobody has laid any garments here. That's perfectly fine. And the voices were crying out loud, saying, "Hosanna, the son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." But we got to slow down just a little bit, because the crowd is not just one voice saying, "Hosanna." It's many voices. There was a group of people who were grateful for Jesus. Some had come with a voice of gratitude. Perhaps the blind who could now see, the sick who had been restored, the outcast that had been welcomed and redeemed. They had been touched by Jesus, and it was personal. When they saw Jesus, they were shouting. They were shouting because they were grateful. They were not shouting as a concept of Jesus, but they were responding to a Savior, a real touch, not just an idol of sorts, but someone that actually transformed and changed their lives. There was also the voices of expectation. Others believed that this was the moment. Others believed that Jesus was going to secure a victory, a political victory. The Messiah had come, and the kingdom would be restored, and Rome was going to fall. And then Hosanna carried hope, but it was a misunderstanding. It was not that type of kingdom that Jesus brought to the world. They wanted a king who would change their circumstances, but Jesus came to change their heart. There were voices of curiosity. When verse 11, I believe, says, when he entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stared, and they were saying, "Who is this? Who is this?" Some voices were not worshiping. They were asking. They were watching. They were evaluating. They were not hostile, but they were not surrendering to the Lord. Voices of gratitude, voices of expectation, voices of curiosity, voices of opposition to Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Because in the shadows, there were other voices. Yes, religious leaders, by all means, watching, calculating, waiting. The same city that shouted Hosanna would echo very soon another cry, "Crucify him, crucify him." Crowds are never neutral. So what did Jesus see? As Jesus entered Jerusalem, another gospel tells us something very remarkable. He sees the city and he weeps over the city. The crowds were celebrating, Jesus is grieving because he sees beyond the noise. He sees hearts that are not understanding, expectations that will collapse, a city that will reject him. He hears Hosanna, but he also hears the coming rejection. He receives the praise, but he knows the cross is just there. It's the king we follow. This is the king who walks not into a celebration, or maybe he just does enters into a celebration, but he knows that it will change into suffering. There's something coming on in the life of Christ that is different from everything he had experienced. Nothing stops him, though. Not the praise, not the misunderstandings, not the opposition. Jesus keeps moving, walking towards Jerusalem, walking actually towards the cross. Because this entry is coming into Jerusalem was not necessarily a final destination. The final destination was the cross. And Palm Sunday is not about a parade. Palm Sunday is about a decision. A decision to do the will of God in his life. How are you doing this morning? How are you blending, allowing God's will in your life? Jesus chose the will of the Father all the way. Well, there's a moment here in our time that we need to concentrate the scene turning into our own lives. Because Jesus did not only walk this road for us, he calls us to walk with him towards your Jerusalem, towards your life, doing God's will. He said, and we mentioned this in the pulpit before many times, if anybody would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. To follow Jesus is not to remain in the crowd, is to step out of it. By the strength that God gives to each one of us, we choose to obey God in our lives. And though there are alternatives to how we would live, and though there are many voices on the road, we choose to do God's will and to follow him. We need to step out of the world and out of the noise and into the light that shines and shows others that it is possible to serve God in 2026. The crowds can shout Hosanna, but then they'll walk away. You can shout Hosanna and walk away. But the disciple, the true disciple of Christ, stays, follows the Lord. The disciple cares, and the disciple carries the cross. And carrying the cross of Christ today is not choosing comfort, but obedience. What is the Lord saying to you this morning? It's not choosing approval. It's faithfulness. It's not choosing control, but surrender. It means walking with Jesus, not only when the road is filled with praise, when everybody applauds and everybody thinks you are the greatest gift. It's not when everything is going so well. It's when the road leads into silence and rejection and sacrifice. The gospel hasn't changed, my brothers and sisters. And wherever you and I live, whatever context we live in, it requires this type of following. I do not minimize whatever you're going through, the problems that you may be going through, the issues that you're facing. For others, you will look at it and say, that's nothing. But for you, it's everything. Because each one of us is stressed, tested, and each one of us goes through issues that only we can go through because of the set of circumstances, the context in which we live, the life that we have developed. But it is in that context. It is in that moment of life. It is in that situation. However you got there, that's where you follow the Lord. That's where you follow him. And you know, there are moments that if you follow the Lord, as a matter of fact, it's so true, you will feel the pain of rejection, to feel the pain of sacrifice. And you ask yourself the question, is this really the road? Yes, it is. That is the road that Jesus traveled. And you know, the road that welcomed Jesus with palm branches, we're soon going to be rejected by putting him in the cross. So sometimes we put so much value as to what people say, what others say, what this says to you, the other says to you. Sometimes things dictate to us that have absolutely no value, and yet we give them value. I'm going to go into something that you may not like, but sometimes the headache you have controls what God wants you to do in your life. The issues that are around you seem to dictate to you, when in reality, they're nothing. You must pursue, even with the headache that you have, the commitment to follow him in spite of what goes around us. And you know, Jesus doesn't hide that from us. He says to you, he says to me, that he was rejected because he took the cross. And we will often be rejected, and we will be misunderstood, and we will have to have sacrifices beyond what we have done today. And if you're fighting inside of your heart, it's because you need to simply surrender to him and say, Lord, I will follow you all the way. Because the thing that this Palm Sunday for me is different from the other Palm Sundays, because the other Palm Sundays I felt like I was coming into. This Palm Sunday I'm feeling I'm going into the cross, not just going towards a destiny, towards a place where God has for all of us. One thing is to enter the city. Another is to know how you will exit the city. He said very clearly, if you follow me, this is the road. If you follow me, this is the road. And there are going to be many willing to wave branches. Oh, yeah. But very few are willing to carry a cross. Very few. You know, I'm amazed when I read the Gospels, it hasn't changed. It's the same requirement. It's the same call. It's the same Lord who calls you and calls me. Like one Hofer once said, when Christ calls a man, he bids them to come and die. And we live in a society that we don't want to die. We want to live it up. The only way you can really live it up is by dying to self, by allowing Christ to be the one to guide you in every single day of your life. It's not a poetic exaggeration when the Lord says, you've got to follow me. You've got to take up your cross and you've got to follow me. It's a spiritual reality. To die to self, to die to control. This is the one I like the most. To die to need to be understood. How many times have you and I been misunderstood by others because we're following the Lord? Yeah, to die to the illusion that we can follow Jesus on our own terms. Yeah. Been doing this in this church for 47 years. It's the same message. It's the same gospel. It's the same Lord. It's the same cross. The same mandate. And yet, when you look at this passage of Scripture, you find that this is not the end of Jesus. No way. It's not the end of the story. Because in reality, the death of Jesus calls us to enter into a door of life. The road that leads to the cross is the same road that leads to the resurrection. I don't know how to say this. It's hard for me to visualize things that will come in the future. But whatever is going on in your life, when you put it in God's hands, some things will die, but you have to die to have a resurrection. Some of the thoughts and the enterprises that you have engaged in, some of the stuff that you think is so important, when you bring it before the Lord will take care of that. And many of those things that we have set before us will not last, will not stand the test. But when they die, they give you life that you cannot even fathom. There is a world after death that is so absolutely marvelous, speaking figuratively here at this moment, but also truly. It's when you come to Christ and you say, all right, Lord, I will take up my cross. I will follow you. Something happens. New life is given to you. It's something absolutely unbelievable what God can do when you trust him in everything in your life. So quiet today. So, what are the voices that you and I are hearing today? What are the voices that fill your road today? The crowd is never going to disappear. As you follow the Lord, you're going to hear the voices. You're going to hear the confusion. You're going to be hearing voices that have nothing to do with God's direction in your life. So I would say to you, that today you may find voices of gratitude, people thanking you for what you've done. You may hear voices of expectation of your life and voices of curiosity and resistance. But I want you to know that sometimes you and I, we praise God. And sometimes in our road, we question God. And sometimes in our road, we misunderstand God. Sometimes in the road, we resist God. So we have to somehow, some way, in the road of our life, come to grips with the reality that there is life that he offers to you, but the price is that we must die to self and follow his will. Whatever that is. So, as I am concluding, you look like you've already concluded. Palm Sunday confronts us with a question. Not what the crowd has said then, but what we say now. Jesus is passing this way. There's an old song like that. But as he passes this way in our lives, he walks towards the cross. And how are you responding to that? Do we follow Jesus in our lives because he meets our expectation? Do we follow him when the road becomes costly? Because Hosanna, if we really shout it correctly, should be a voice of surrender. Lord, let your will be done in my life. So you and I need to make that commitment in our lives. The King is here. The Lord is here. And he is not mounted on a war horse, but in humility. And he's coming to you. He's there right now to you in your heart. And he's not demanding applause. He's inviting you to surrender to him. To say, yes, Lord, let it be. Yes, Lord, I will follow you. Yes, Lord, I'm in your hands. Yes, Lord, let your will be done. And Lord, I am now doing your will. Jesus goes out to Jerusalem. He goes on to the cross. And in many ways, when you read the accounts, and we're doing this week, you read the accounts of the Gospels, Jesus is almost like saying, bring it on, Satan. Bring it on. Whatever it is you got, let me have it, because I will rise from the dead. There will be life for humanity. And you and I need to have that idea in our hearts that whatever is pressing you, whatever you have to let go, whatever you value so much, let it go, put it in God's hands, because God's got something much greater and bigger than you can imagine. Let the life of Christ dominate your life. So as he's passing by today, what voice are you going to hear? What commitment will you make? What will you surrender? How will you walk the streets of Jerusalem? How will you understand God's will in your life? Because that, brothers and sisters, has everything to do with what God wants to do in your life. So you say to him, Lord, I surrender to you. Let your voice be the voice of my conscience and my guidance. And this applies to all of us, wherever we live, whatever we're doing, whatever stage of life, young, old, middle, and some of the other ones that I don't want to mention. While we still have life, Lord, what is your will in my life? And I'm willing to do it, Lord. I will surrender and I will walk the streets of Jerusalem towards the cross. I will carry it. I will carry it. So, Lord, I thank you this Sunday morning because you, in many ways, are speaking to us, asking us, Lord, for a new type of life, asking us to follow you. In this Holy Week, Lord, we are concerned with a world that has lost its way. But Lord, as we follow you, we are not lost. As we allow you to work in our lives, Lord, as we open ourselves to you and we dare to take the steps that are needed, Lord, we will find in you peace and strength, Lord. Lord, you have wonderful plans for each one of us as we submit and we allow your will to be done in our lives. So Lord, whatever is troubling in the hearts, we pray that you will help us settle it. For we pray and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Will you stand? I gotta hear an amen, or why do the message all over again? Oh, and quickly for everybody in us. Well, may the Lord bless you and keep you. Amen. You want the Lord to bless you and to keep you? Do you want him to be gracious to you? Do you want him to lift up his head and his face and give you peace? Yeah. But the Lord needs to bless you and to strengthen you. And you need to leave with a commitment that you will follow his will, that nothing will disturb you or move you from accomplishing what he wants to do in your life. All right, church, everybody, this is the day that the Lord has made. There it is. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all in Jesus' name. Amen. Enjoy the bake sale. God bless you.
We're so glad you're able to join us today. If you would like to watch the full service with the worship time included, you can check out our Facebook page. For more information about our church, go to our website at www.bbfoursquare.org. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. God bless. See you next week.